But for all of us, whether or not what God is pleased by is the desire of our hearts. And that's the spiritual assessment. Whenever we hear the Word of God, we should decide whether we want to respond more fully to that or whether we are neglecting to and say, Lord, I want to repent. But it's a choice. Either we're making a choice by going forward or just staying and neglecting. So every time we hear the Word of God, it's an opportunity to respond to what He says. And this morning, what we're looking at is what I call the Spirit-filled family that God has designed. It's the family of God. This is how God designed family life to be. Now, this what I'm talking about this morning, you won't see on the major, you know, websites, news media websites. You won't see it portrayed very often in the media. But this is the family, the way God designed it to be. This is how God designed the Holy Spirit to be flowing to our families. And what I mean by that is, to understand chapter 6, 1 through 4, you have to back up to chapter 5, verse 18. So just on the page, look over at chapter 5, verse 18, because remember, last week I shared this, in fact, I shared it all the time, no verse of the Bible should be looked at without the greater context. The thought that we're seeing in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, started way back in chapter 5, verse 18. And that's the great, be not drunk with wine wherein is dissipation, but be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that kicks off a series of descriptions about how the Holy Spirit impacts every relationship in life. And in verse 21, if you look in your Bibles, it says, submit to one another in the fear of God. So a born-again Christian is transformed into being submissive and doesn't think that they are above correction, above guidance, above community and accountability. We're all mutually submissive. And so all of these different relationships, starting in chapter 5, verse 21, and then on through each one that I showed you, are all the results of the Holy Spirit unleashed in our lives. So don't just pull out, you know, fathers or children, obey your parents, without seeing the way it's possible. Because what I'm describing this morning and what is already written down in chapter 5 is impossible. See, the biblical family is impossible to operate unless it's plugged in. See, it's kind of like a gigantic power tool that just sits there, and it's beautiful until the power supply is connected. And the power supply that makes us accountable and mutually submissive is the Holy Spirit. And see, each one of us are to surrender, to be the chosen instruments that God wants us to be in His hand as we are ministering to one another, as we're relating to one another, as we're serving one another. So every believer is to be transformed by a spiritually infilled, prompted, submissive heart, verse 21 of chapter 5. Every wife is to be transformed by a spirit-prompted, submissive heart in verse 22. Every husband in verse 25 is to be transformed by a spirit-prompted heart. And then in verses 1 through 4, every child and every father are to be transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. So that's what we're reading about is going to be possible. That's how it's possible. The power that we plug into the power source and realize that only when the Spirit empowers us does it unleash even the potential to be any of these things we're looking at. The first truth that we should notice, look back right down at your Bible before you miss this. The first truth that we should notice is that our pattern for the family is the Word of God. Our pattern is from God's Word. You see, this is not kind of like the last decade in America, what's happened. In America, we're slowly governing by public opinion. And the government, if there's an outcry from the public, then they do something about it. If there's a little outcry, they do a little bit. If there's no outcry, we just proceed. And that's how our whole culture, we're starting to do this public policy that's based on how people feel. Not like they're objective standards, not like they're unchangeable rules. It's just like kind of like everything is in flux. That's not how the family is. Either the family is operating according to God's pattern, which is in the Word of God, or it's not. And the family is defined by God, not by culture. See, you understand, you and I are living through an evolution in our culture where no longer are the truths of the Bible even seen in the definition of things. They don't even rise to be, I mean, they're laughed out of the, you know, the arena of discussion. But the designer of the family, who is also the designer of man and woman, who is also the creator of the universe, has laid down our pattern. And so our pattern is God's word. And the biblical family is not subjective. The biblical family is not up for discussion. God has given the pattern. He's clearly expressed his desire. Now, the pattern was what he followed. Do you understand? The biblical family has a pattern. We don't just make it however we like or think. It's not up for discussion. It's only for obedience. God has clearly expressed his desires, and we're left with a choice to either respond and become, in our lives, instruments that carry out his choices, plans, and desires, or not. See, God is very clear. He doesn't leave middle ground. This week I was talking to someone, and they came to our church, and they wanted to ask me how this church thought people could get to heaven. I said, well, you know, that's not a real profitable thing to run around Kalamazoo and try and find, you know, all the different ideas of how people get to heaven. I says, what you really need is to ask, what does the Bible say is God's plan of salvation? I said, and our church should concur with that and should follow that, but that's what you should be looking for. What is the biblical plan? And the biblical plan is very clear. Those that have the Son, 1 John 5, had life, and those who do not have the Son of God do not have life. So that in our whole world, all 7 billion people, you could this morning put them in two piles or two clumps or groups. We could just put a line down and say, if you have the Son of God living and abiding within you, you're on this side of the line, and if you don't, you're on that side. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. You see, God is very clear. He doesn't say, well, there's a whole bunch in the middle, and we hope. Maybe. Either you have him today or you don't. Either you follow the plan for the biblical family, or you don't even know what it is, care what it is, or if you know what it is, you don't follow it. And there's not middle ground. Either we are saying, I want to go your direction, or we're not going his direction. See, that's how clear the scriptures are. Now, there are degrees. There are people following God's plan more. There are people that the Lord has control of more of their lives. But either you have him or you don't. Either you want to obey him or you don't. And God says, if you want a Christian family, we're left with two choices. And the two choices, either respond and become instruments that carry out his plan or not. Now remember, Paul was teaching to a civilized place. I mean, this book is called the book to the city of what? Ephesus. Yes, the Ephesians. It's the city of Ephesus. Now remember, when Paul wrote this, the Roman Empire was 754, about 816 years old. Okay, so this is an ancient empire, and there was the biggest city in the empire, Rome, and there was the number two city in the empire, Ephesus. This was an extremely civilized city. This was an extremely cosmopolitan place. These people had, you think you have a busy life? They had a busy life. You think you have a full life? They had a full life. You think sports are big? Sports were big. You think finance is big? Finance was big. You understand? You think technology is great? They were into technology. And they just had lives so much like ours. And you know what Paul said? He says, if you want to know what God wants, then I want you to realize what the scriptures tell you. Look at verse 2, right in the middle. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. How does he support that? Look at verse 2 and verse 3. Where did he get that from? Paul immediately says the pattern is in God's word. He quotes from the fifth commandment in Exodus 20:12, and he quotes also from the restatement of the commandment in Deuteronomy. So Paul says, if you want to know, I will give you a clue. I will show you that God's plan is in his word.